Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to share this message with you entitled, Love Made Us Sons. This message will transition us from the previous series entitled, God Loves Me, into a new teaching in which we will discover how love was God's motive for bringing us into His family as born-again sons of God when we made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life. Love made us sons. I hope that you enjoy this message.
Let's begin with prayer. Lord Jesus, how wonderful you are, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have paid, the price you've paid for us, what you've made available to us through your death, burial, and resurrection. Hallelujah. You have made it possible for us to enter into the family of God, to be members of God's family. Father God, you are our Father. We are your children. We're so thankful. Glory. We're so thankful. You're so good to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for a revelation of your goodness, a revelation of your love to us. Thank you, Father, that we understand and know what it means to be children of the Most High God. Glory. Sons of God. Thank you so much. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for bringing this revelation forward in each one of us. And I come against right now the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I believe that this message is going to set people free, the truth in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited this evening because the Lord is wanting to take us in a direction tonight that I believe is really going to bless you. Glory to God. We've been talking in the recent weeks about the love that God has to us. So this is kind of a transition message, going from the understanding of the love of God to us, love has accomplished on our behalf. And I'm convinced of this on the inside, that far too few understand and appreciate and live in that place of understanding what it means to be a child of God. You know, we kind of throw that terminology around, and do we understand what it means that God is our Father? You see, this is what love has accomplished. And if you don't have a revelation of God's love to you, believing and knowing the love that God has to us, that right there is 1 John. We covered that in previous messages, talking where we were focusing on love. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. See, that knowing and believing the love that God hath to us, as we begin, as that revelation begins to unfold on the inside of us, along comes the revelation of being a child of God. It's not really possible to have one without the other, I don't believe. And why I say that is because when you flip over there, if you have your Bible, I'd like you to open with me. We read 1 John 4:16. If you go back one chapter to 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, here we see the connection that I'm talking about in the love that God has to us and what that love accomplished. So let's read this. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. See, now you can just read those words real quick and completely miss what they're saying. Let's go at it one more time. We'll go a little slower. Behold, in other words, these words are to grab your attention. Behold, behold, this is important. I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to recognize what I'm about to say. Behold, this is, focus on this. You know, forget about everything else. These words that I'm about to share with you are life-changing. Behold, what manner of love. Behold, the manner of love. The manner of love. The Father hath bestowed upon us. Behold, their manner of love. The Father hath bestowed upon us. See, that love is connecting what we read there in 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. See that word bestowed in chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, has given to us. See that connection? The love that God hath to us, the love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It's so important that we make the connection here. The love that God hath bestowed upon us, that we could be called sons of God. That the son, the relationship, the family relationship here, the family connection has been made possible. Why? How was it? Because of the love. It was the love that God hath bestowed. It was the love. Going back to 1 John 4:16, knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. See, and then the other verse in chapter 4 that we looked at so many times, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. See, that love that we have for him is only possible because he first loved us. His love for us enabled us to be born again. And in that new birth, we have been reborn as children of God. We are children, the children of the Most High God. And if we can ever make that connection inside of us, that connection of knowing and believing this love that God hath to us, that has caused us to be born into his family, that he loved us. Glory to God. His love to us was so, it goes beyond words. His love to us was so incredible. So incredible that he would enable us to be reborn into his family. Hallelujah. Well, I'm being prompted right now inside to look at a couple of verses in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, where, because I mentioned being born again, the best place to see the verses regarding that in John 3, it's where Jesus spoke with the Pharisee, the man who he was a Pharisee, his name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Verse 2 of chapter 3, Gospel of John. The same as Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I get so thrilled at these verses. I just love to read them because there's such a revelation inside of me of this new birth, of the fact that here Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he's using words that causes Nicodemus to think about his first birth. And he asked Jesus, do I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Here's a grown man. I mean, just think about this. The words Jesus used gave Nicodemus this impression of a birth, a rebirth, to the point that he's thinking, how am I going to get back into my mother's womb? There's absolutely no doubt that we're talking about a new birth. A birth that is going to bring us into a new family. Do we believe that? Do we believe that we no longer identify with that first birth, but that this new birth is even more real to us than that first birth that brought us into this natural world? That this rebirth has birthed us into God's family. And that it was His love to us that made it possible. That's something that has to be a revelation to you. It's something that you don't just grab hold of this just by reading it a couple of times and saying, oh yeah, I believe it. No, you mentally ascend to it. In your mind, you might agree with it. But there's a vast difference between your mind agreeing to something and you having a revelation birthed from the inside out. When you have that kind of revelation, there's no turning loose of it. It explodes on the inside of you. It's where the Holy Ghost, He takes it's like a paintbrush and just paints this picture on the inside of your spirit of you being God's child, His child. And not just a child, but you stand in the place of a son of God, not the son of God. And I always have to clarify that because, there are just people that are just waiting to jump on something like a chicken on a bug to say, well, you said that wrong. We are sons of God. We sit in that position of sons of God in Jesus. Because we identify in Him as our representative of the covenant between God the Father and the first begotten from the dead. And in doing so, we see ourselves in Him, our representative. And having done that, produced the new birth in us. And we were reborn children of God, sons sitting in the position of a son And I go back to this verse often, Romans 8, and I'll go back there one more time. Romans 8 says, verse 16, the Spirit itself or himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. I just love that. Not a sub-heir. Not someone that is way down the pecking order. You know, this person, then this person, then this person, and somewhere down there I show up. No, we're joint heirs, equally heirs with Jesus. Not a sub-heir, but a joint heir. Hallelujah. We by identifying in him as our representative, we identify in that position that he holds. That's so wonderful. That's so wonderful for us. Glory to God. But the point that I really want to make here tonight, and I believe that we're going to be talking about this for a while, because the point is this, that we are members of God's family, that love has brought us into God's family. Do you see yourself there? That's the question. Do you recognize? Do you identify yourself? I am God's child. Do you see yourself that way? Or do you mentally ascend to that idea? But you don't have a heartfelt revelation of God being your father. God, you're my father. And I am your son. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. The devil hates that. Oh my goodness. Because he never had that. He'll never have it. And God brought us into his family, the thing that Satan wanted and could never have and can never have. Why do you think that he camps right here at this point and causes such a fuss with anybody that will begin to preach about what it means to be a child of God? Because he doesn't have it. And he can't believe that God did this for us. And that God the Father would send Jesus into this earth, the Son of God, to pay the price for us. It chaps the devil. Thank God that this is what it belongs to us. It belongs to us. But if we don't believe it, if we don't allow this to become a revelation inside of us, we could live our whole life on this earth and with the idea that God just saved us from our sins. He didn't just do that. Yes, he paid the price for sin. He delivered us out of sin. But he delivered us out of something and into something else. And that into something else has been something that I have to say, I haven't heard across the Christian world. I haven't heard a lot of people preaching about it. And it's so sad because it's who we are. This is who we are. We're not of this world. We have been reborn into the family of God, and we're not of this world. So I want to look at verses tonight to help establish this inside of us and to give you something to start meditating on, to start, if you haven't. Just to begin looking at these things, looking at the verses, identifying who we are, what belongs to us. Because This is going to make all the difference in the world. It's going to make the difference on how you see yourself when you approach God, and how you see your impression of how He views you. Do you see God looking at you with contempt? Do you see Him looking at you, kind of half angry most of the time? I think that's how a lot of Christians view their impression of how God views them. You know, kind of half mad. You know, always ready to crack the whip. That's not God at all. That's the picture religion paints. That's not my Father. My Father loves me. And, but that's how I believe so many people view God. They don't see a loving Father who has gone to the greatest lengths to redeem us and to bring us into His family. What they see is a God that's all about the rules, that is, His expectation is that you're perfect. You got to be perfect all the time. And nothing else is acceptable but perfection. And that's not Him. Now, at the same time, and I have to qualify this because it's like I said, there's people just waiting to jump on something. I'm not saying that He just he's all excited at our failures, and He doesn't just wink at our sin. But He's not the Pharisee that we think He is. You know, that's when Jesus was on the earth, the Pharisees were the ones that Jesus had the most to say negative about, because they're the ones that they were so interested in earning their righteousness. Well, you see, we've been born into God's family. We have been reborn. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus is not about us trying to earn our righteousness through our actions. See, that's the idea of the Pharisees. But at the same time, because we have been born the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, we're not to be using that as an excuse to go and sin. So, while on the one hand, you know, it's not just, God's not just trying to crack the whip on us and, you know, you did that wrong, and you did that wrong, and that's sin. That's not our Father. But then on the other extreme, you have the people that, well, everything's fine. God, you know, God loves you no matter what. Well, He does love you no matter what, but He certainly isn't turning a blind eye to your sin, and he's not giving us the grace is not just a license to go do what we want to do by any means. So what I believe the Holy Ghost wants us to really focus on is that we're part of God's family. And I believe that if we can see this, focus on this, recognize why God has brought us into His family, His motivation is love and love alone, and truly believe, I'm not of this world. I've been born again. I have been reborn into the family of God. Again, going back to what Jesus' conversation with Cornelius in John chapter 3.
Not Cornelius, Nicodemus.
Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water, that's the natural birth, and of the Spirit, He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. This new birth hasn't caused our natural body to change, but it's affected us on the inside. We've been born again in our spirit. We have become different people. We're not the same people that we were before we made Jesus the Lord of our life. We are completely different now. And as that new birth took place on the inside of us, we became the children of God. Now, I know for some of you, you're sitting there thinking, Mark, I already know this. Mark, I've heard this all my life. And most likely, everyone listening to this has heard this type of teaching before. I've found over the years that it's really this type of teaching where you're covering something that most people have heard and heard and heard. It's here where people can truly receive a fresh revelation, a fresh look at something they haven't seen before, if they will give themselves over to the Holy Ghost and let Him show this to them. It's like you've traveled, let's say, from your house to work over and over and over again. You go back and forth all the time, but one day you see something that you've been passing by for years, and it's like you see it for the first time. It was there all the time, but it's like your eyes were open and finally, and you see it. Well, that's the way this is. This is ground that I'm sure many of us have covered over and over and over again. And it's come to the point where, yeah, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But do you really believe it? Do you believe? Do you believe that God has become your Father? You see, it's very easy to mentally ascend, to think this in your mind, in other words. Mentally ascend. Just you think it in your head. But is this a revelation to you? Because when it is, it's like I heard a preacher describe this to a revelation of the love that he has for his wife. You know, when you truly have the revelation of your love, the love you have for your spouse, and you can't even put words to it. You know, someone asks you, "Do you love your wife?" Oh my goodness! I mean, yeah. Oh, do I love my wife? I love my wife. There's just no words that can adequately describe what's going on the inside of you. That's what I'm talking about. When you discover that God's your Father, you're not going to say, "Oh yeah, I know, I'm a child of God." No. See, when you truly discover this, that God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth, who has existed throughout all of eternity, that He has become your Father. And see, when you get to know Him like that, then this flippant way of saying, "Oh, I'm a child of God," that vanishes. It's gone. Now, someone asks you, "Are you a child of God?" Now you have a personal relationship with God, who has become your Father in Jesus Christ. Has become your Lord and your Savior. There's something personal. There's something that I can't put words to it anymore. But yeah, He's my Father. That's what I'm talking about. And it's no longer this this flippant little, oh, I'm a child of God. Yeah, I'm born again. When it truly becomes revelation to you, it goes beyond words. And that's what we want. That's where we want to get to where there's no words to describe what goes off on the inside of us when we think about God being our Father. There's just no words to say how much we appreciate what He's done for us. His love to us, that he would send Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for us, to pay the price for our sin, to deliver us out of spiritual death, so that we could be born into His family and we could become His children. Oh. That's good stuff right there. I want you to go to Galatians. I want to show you some verses that deal specifically with what I've just said to you. Galatians chapter 3. See, in Galatians, Paul wrote this to people struggling with with religious-minded folks trying to beat these poor people back under the law, these people that had believed on Jesus and had the new birth experience and had were children of God, and now the Judaizers had come around and were trying to put them back under the law. You know, do this. Don't do that. You can't do this. You have to do this. That's the law. That's not... See, the law has nothing to do with family. Has nothing to do with God being our Father. It has everything to do with our actions and trying to earn something from God. No. How can you earn being a child of God? You can't earn this. You're only born this way. Hallelujah. So here in Galatians 3, Paul's writing this letter to these people that, you know, they're under all this pressure from these Judaizers trying to beat them to the law. And these people were Gentiles, and the Judaizers are saying, oh, if you're really going to be a true Christian, then you have to abide by this law. And Paul's saying, look, you're children of God. You're children of God. Look how he says this in chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither, now look at this, there's neither Jew nor Greek. What does he mean by that? When you're born again, when you have come into the family of God, we're not looking at the genealogy of your family, your lineage. That's in the natural. You're born again in the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus back in chapter 3? Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. See, the first birth is the water. That's where a person is born, and there's, you know, Gentiles and Jews. But the second birth, the birth of the Spirit, that removes all of these categories, if you will, Jews and Gentiles. And look what else he says here back in Galatians 3. He says, there's neither Jew, verse 28, Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. By identifying in Jesus as our covenant representative and being reborn into God's family, we see ourselves in Him. So there's no genealogy, that there's no lineage that we need to be concerned with in the natural, because we have been reborn in our spirit. Now we're the family, we're in the family of God. God is our Father. All of the things that we associate ourselves with in the natural, all of that's been wiped away because I have been reborn in my spirit. And in that rebirth, I have come into God's family. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 29. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise that God made to Abraham. We are heirs of that promise when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. Glory to God. Now go over with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Be you therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's a beautiful verse right there. What Jesus has done for us, offering himself up in our place for our sacrifice on our behalf, a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Hallelujah. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So what is he saying here? Remember what I said earlier? You have one side of the ditch where people, it's all about the do's and don'ts of Christianity. It's the do's and the don'ts. Then you have on the other side of the street, in the other ditch, you have those that, you know, that it's all grace. It's all grace, you know. And it's almost as if they're saying that they don't believe there even is any sin anymore. That's foolishness, folks. That's foolishness. Now, like I said, one side of the ditch is all about your actions. The other side of the ditch, it's like your actions mean nothing. Well, what does Paul say right here? Paul says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. So he said, don't let this. So if he's saying don't let it, then you could let it if you wanted to. But he says don't do it. Now, for those in the grace camp that want to just say everything's fine, whatever you do is fine, I don't know how you can have that attitude and read this verse and not see that there is a choice that we make not to do the things that we used to do when we were sinners. There's been a change now, and that change has affected me from the inside out. See, my desires are different than when they were before I made Jesus Lord of my life, before I was born again. See, when I was a sinner, And I had the nature of my father, the devil, then I thought fornication was fine. I didn't know there was a problem with it. But, you know, once I became born again, there was a change on the inside of me. My nature changed. I no longer had the nature that was given to me by the world or by Satan. Now I had the nature given to me by my Father, who's God. There's been a change in my nature. And with that change in nature comes a change in my desire. The things that I want to do. Now, my flesh never changed. So the problem that so many people have when they make Jesus Lord of their life is that this outer man hasn't changed anything. When they walked into the church and they accepted Jesus, or wherever they accepted Jesus, when they walked into that place, their flesh was one way. When they walked out, their flesh was the same old way it was when they walked in. It was the inside portion, part of the person that changed. So this outside may still have cravings after the world. And this outer man may want to follow that. But see, now with the change of nature from the inside out and the change of the desire that I have, I can follow what's coming out of my reborn human spirit. And that reborn human spirit is not telling me to sin. Praise God. That reborn human spirit is not hungering after things that God's opposed to. All of that is in my unrenewed flesh. And if I let that unrenewed flesh go, it's going to take me back into that cesspool of sin. Now, once I'm born again, do I have a conscience that knows better? Oh, thank God we do. We have a conscience now. That conscience knows the difference between what's acceptable with God and what's not acceptable. And we know the difference between sin and what's not sin. So if I will just simply listen to the insides of me, to what's coming out of my spirit, I'm not going to spend my life doing those things that my conscience is convicting me of. You know, but at the same time, it doesn't mean that I've, at times, that I might not sin. You see, that's where the ultimate grace people and I don't agree. Because the ultimate grace, they say you can't sin. Yeah, you can. But the difference is that when you do, you just go to Jesus and you accept your forgiveness and you're back on track again. Going over to those that say that it's all about their actions, the religious-minded people that are all about actions, see, they're trying to earn their righteousness. Your righteousness is what you received as a free gift when you were born again. You were born this way. So your actions aren't going to achieve righteousness. It's who you are. But because I am righteous, because I have a new nature, because I have a conscience, I'm not going to follow this unrenewed flesh and go back into sin again. And that's what Paul's saying here when he's saying in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Thanksgiving. That's what we're going to celebrate in a week. Thanksgiving. That's what we should be doing. We should be thanking God. Thanking God for what? Thanking God for the fact that he has brought us into his family, thanking God that he has enabled us to be reborn in our spirit, to, and He has enabled us to walk free of that sin. So, I'm going to be thankful. Thank you, God. You're my Father. You've given me a new nature that I can follow with confidence. The desire that comes from the inside of me, out of that reborn human spirit, is a desire to walk free of sin. Not to dabble on the very edge of what's sin and what's not sin, and I want to sit here and split hairs over it. No, I want to be so far away from that mess, I don't even want to think about it, quite honestly. I don't want to think about it. I want to thank you, Father, for the love that you have to me. And that love has brought me into your family. And your gift to me is righteousness. And my gift to you, Father, is a life of holiness, where I'm not trying to walk in the gray area between what's acceptable in your eyes and what's not. I want my life to be pleasing to you, God. That's with every beat of my heart. I want my life, the desire inside of me is that my life be pleasing to you. Isn't that a vast difference between either side of either ditch, on either side of the road? Understanding who I am. I'm a child of God. I have a new nature. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not trying to earn anything. I'm not of the religious-minded folks that it's all about my actions. I'm trying to earn my righteousness. Nor am I of the camp that's trying to use my righteousness as an excuse to sin. I am in the middle, in the family of God, thanking God for what He's done. Thanking God that He has sent Jesus into the earth to redeem me and to bring me into His family. And I don't want to even sit there and think about it, this stuff that Paul's mentioned here. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, verse 5, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You see, if you make a lifestyle out of these things, there's no inheritance for you in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's no inheritance for you. If that's your lifestyle, if that's the choices that you make. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. As I read that verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. As I read that, I want to tell you the thing that really comes up inside of me is the deception that is, I truly believe, prevalent right now in the body of Christ. And that deception in this, the idea here of the being deceived with the vain words, is the attitude that go live however you want to live, it's okay. Don't be deceived by those vain words, because that will send you to hell. If you take that path and you follow that path all the way out to the very end. Now, Mark, are you saying that one sin will send you to hell? I'm not saying that. But if you make that your lifestyle, and that's the path that you choose, how can you choose that path and end up in heaven when Jesus, or when Paul said, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, which is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. See, you can't live that lifestyle and take that path all the way to the very end and have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. It's not possible. And that's what Paul's saying right here. Let's go on. Verse 7. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Isn't that simple? You previously were of darkness. What does he mean by that? I was of darkness. You were spiritually dead. Darkness, spiritual death. Light, spiritual life. Death, life. Darkness, light. You were of darkness. But now you're born again. You are of light. Walk. Walk, he says, as children of light. What does he mean, walk as children? What does he mean by that? Conduct your life. Choose light. Walk. Your behavior, your mannerisms should be as a child of light. How hard is this? I mean, it's not hard at all. It really isn't. If your mannerisms, if your actions, if your behavior is that of darkness, there's a problem. Because you're not of darkness, you're of light. And he's saying right here, walk, verse 8, as children of light. Your choices, your mannerisms, your behavior, that's all encompassed in that word walk. The way you conduct your life. All of these things, walk as children of light. Your choices should be choices that are inspired from the inside. The desire, that this new desire that has come into being in you when you were born again. Walk by that. That's not going to lead you the wrong way. That new desire is not going to lead you into covetousness. That new desire, the desire of God that comes out of your reborn human spirit, that new nature is not going to lead you into sin. That new nature is not going to lead you into fornication. That new nature is not going to lead you into doing things that are the opposite to the desire of God for your life. And Paul's saying, walk according to, you're a child of light, walk according to that desire inside of you. It'll not lead you wrong. You can trust that new nature that you receive. You can trust that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something out of this. And I want to go back, before we close here this evening, I want to go back to, we've been talking in the last few weeks about love, about God's love to us, and about the fact that we love Him because He first loved us. His love to us first enabled us to be born again, enabled us to experience that new birth and to come into the family of God, to call Him our Father. It was His love that enabled us now, out of this reborn human spirit, to have love, to love Him, to have the God kind of love in us. And it's this love that God wants to flow through us to other people. You see, when we
believe and know the love that God hath to us. When we comprehend and understand what this love has done in us, then it's going to go horizontal to other people. It's going to affect others. We're going to see God in a way that the world doesn't see Him. You see, they see Him as rules and regulations. But when you truly see God in the light that He exists, you see love. Love that goes beyond words. Love that has brought you into His family. And if you don't grasp the love, then you'll not be able to receive the revelation of God as your Father. You see, God is love. You have to grasp the love. You have to see the love in order to have the revelation of Him being your Father. Because it all goes hand in hand. When you see the love, when you grasp the love that He has to you, believing and knowing, I go back to this. I know I've got to wrap this up. I go back to this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Have we really? See, that's the real question. Have we really? Do we really know and believe the love that God hath to us? It was His love that brought us into His family. When we know and believe this, then we can see ourselves in His family. And He is our Father. We see who we are, what we have become as children of God. Hallelujah. I hope you're seeing this transition, because that's what this message is, a transition going from the teaching that we've done about love into the teaching about who we have become because of the love. That's what we want to look at now. Who we've become. Who are we now? And who is God to us? He's our Father who loves us so much. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You're our Father. Oh, hallelujah. You're our Father. Hallelujah. And we are Your children, sons of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, my prayer for everyone that listens to this message is that they believe and know the love that You have to us. You are love. Because when we know and believe this, we can see ourselves as the children of God that we truly are. Hallelujah. Thank You for Your grace helping us to receive this revelation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.